which is a presentation, goals and concerns of fishery stakeholders and the development of catch share management in New England. It says tab one. We have Dr. Pomeroy from UConn and Dr. Polnack from URI.
Our time's been cut a little bit short on this, but you have a handout that has all the tables that are in the presentation, and I'm going to emphasize some of the points that we have in the presentation, and then if there are any questions, we can answer the questions, and we'll start.
Just to be clear, I don't intend to cut you short.
Okay.
We're gonna carry through as planned. We're just starting late.
Okay, thank you. Well, what we're looking at is goals and concerns of fishery stakeholders in the development of the catch share management in New England. And the objectives of the study were to, as you can read there, identify and address the goals and concerns of groundfish and monkfish stakeholders in the development of catch share management in New England. We included more than those fishing types in our study, which you can see from the slides and what will be in a report that will be produced through Connecticut Sea Grant by the end of June. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
By the end of June. And we are also asked to provide objective, constructive information on catch share design options for addressing these goals and concerns. And we're not going to say a lot about that today. We'll just have some of the objectives. Now, what do the fishermen think about catch shares? Is it what you read in the newspaper that some big mouths have to say down on the docks and so on, or that representatives have to say? Well, what do the fishermen think? What we have to do is we have to ask them, and that is a representative sample of fishermen, not just the people that come forward and want to talk to us. And we want to know if they even know what catch shares are. When I first heard this term, I thought it was a lay system when people change the name of it. And all of a sudden it gets a new name and some people don't even know what it is. And we want to know if they support the implementation of catch shares. You know, how many of them do? How many of them don't? And also, what do they see as the advantages and disadvantages of catch shares? And when we ask them this, we don't have answers. They aren't multiple choice questions. We don't say, do you think that there are equity problems? We don't say, do you think there are allocation problems? We ask them an open-ended question so that they tell us what's on their mind, what comes first to their mind. So whenever percentages are presented here, some people, you know, more people may agree with a certain advantage or disadvantage, but what we're reporting is what they said. And then we also ask them, what would they do to fix it? They don't like it, you know. What kind of actions would they take? Who did we ask? Well, we interviewed 172 fishermen in 35 ports in 5 states. So we went from Connecticut up to the Canadian border. Ages from 17 to 81, you know, the most of them were in their 40s in terms of the distribution of ages. 88 were owner captains, 9 were owners, 10 were captains, 58 were crew. How many people talk to crew? You rarely see anything on crew. And somebody was just talking about a baseline. All that they talked about were the number of vessels that were going to be involved. And you know, there are crewmen involved too who have jobs, who are concerned about what's going on. They aren't nobodies. In a fishery, a crew member is a part of the firm. It's a lot different than working in a factory. So these crew members are important. They're the future of the fishery. They're the ones who may, unless things keep on going in the same direction, be able to buy a boat in the future like they could in the past. So they're important as well, not just the owners. And the most common gears used in our representative sample were drag nets, lobster traps, and gill nets, but we covered the entire range because we wanted to see what the fishermen thought about catch shares, because who knows how far it may spread throughout the system in the future. And 46% of those interviewed reported being a member of a catch share group. So we got a nice distribution of people in the sample here. And if we look at the degree of support for catch shares by New England fishermen, we see that on this graph here that a little less than 20%, about 17% support catch shares, and a little less than 40% give qualified support. That means that, you know, maybe if it were tweaked a little bit this way, or maybe if it didn't have that feature, they'd support it. But they're not in full support at the present time. In other words, they're qualified. They either don't, but it might work out, or they do a little bit, but not fully. And then there's a large percent there, and I think that's around 47%. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, who said that they do not support catch shares. If we look at percent support for catch shares by participation, we can see that, well, you can see it on the graph, but I also did a statistical test of significance, and there's no significant difference in the distribution of those responses between people who are members, present members of catch shares, and those who are not members. And remember that crew is included in this. Don't forget that. So rarely is crew considered and included in these kinds of analysis, but they're included here. And we also found out that about one-third of fishers who are now members of catch shares felt that they didn't have any option but to join. In other words, they didn't jump up and say, I want to be a member. They just felt that this was going to happen and that they had to join. And we looked at percent distribution of support for catch shares across states in the sample. And we can see here that there's quite a difference in distribution across the states. And you all have that in your handout. When fishermen, now we're getting to the point that, you know, where things get interesting, when they were asked to list five advantages or mention five advantages, these were face-to-face interviews, when they were asked to list five advantages of catch shares, most fishermen mentioned some. The highest percentage, about 16.3% of the respondents, mentioned increased flexibility in decision-making. And social and community issues, economic and profitability and allocation advantages were mentioned by over 10% of the fishermen. But fully 25% said that there are no advantages at all. And these responses varied in frequency across the different states. And you can see them there, the differences in responses across the states. And here, the differences across states that were statistically significant were for no advantage, allocation, and social and community advantages with regard to catch shares. Now, advantages of catch shares by position. We wanted to see if there were any differences between crews and others. And that is crew versus owner, captain, owner, and so on. And the only differences that were statistically significant were issues concerning social and community. And if you want to know what that meant, advantages which we have grouped under social and community refer to social gains created by catch share management, namely preserving sea communities, requiring less time at sea, a more congenial relationship with the Coast Guard, and increased necessity for fishermen to work together. The other category that was statistically significantly different between crews and others was the flexibility in decision making, and that category included, where is that? Well, it included the ability for business, for them to make, what do you see that?
This one.
Okay, all right. It included the ability for them to have options that quotas will allow for better business decisions and an increased flexibility on when to fish. And that was that category that, you know, the crew and the others differed with regard to. And you can see that the differences in those two are in opposite directions. The crew members gave more responses on social and community, and of course the owners and captains dealt, you know, were more concerned about flexibility and decision making with regard to the advantages of catch shares. And if you have any questions as I go along, just stop and ask me. And if we look at advantages and good things about catch shares mentioned or stated by support for catch shares, most of them were statistically significant across whether or not they had support for catch shares, had qualified support or no support whatsoever. And you can see on the table there which ones we have. And in terms of allocation, what we mean, what we grouped into that category are, and this is with regard to advantages, that options and allocations are given fairly to the active fishermen who deserve them. They considered that as one of the advantages of catch shares. With regard to social and community, I already talked about that. Ecological, there are improvements in the environmental impacts of fishing, including less discard, more efficient fishing trips, a dispersion of fishing fleets, and other general advantages associated with the end of derby-style fishing. Increasing safety, we all know what that means. Economic and profitability advantages, and this the way we subgrouped the answers, it included options expressing the economic advantages to catch shares, and these perceived advantages are better control of market prices, less fuel consumption, and higher returns on investment. Regulatory improvements included easier and more concise regulatory practices with quotas, eliminating per-trip quotas, opening closed areas, and a belief that catch shares will lead to more accurate surveys and fish numbers. And how can we interpret those tables? Because I talked about statistically significant differences with regard to the responses in terms of support catch shares for people who gave specific responses. Now, if we look at one that wasn't statistically significant, and that was percent of catch shares by allocation advantage, we can see that there's very little difference between those who said, who mentioned allocation as one of the advantages, and those who didn't mention allocation. But for one that is statistically significant, like percent of support for catch shares by perceived ecological advantage, in this case the differences were statistically significant, you can see that those who mentioned ecological advantage have different levels of support for catch shares. For example, those who said no, that they didn't support catch shares, only a very small percent said there was an ecological advantage. That's 13%. For those who gave qualified support, that's the greatest amount there. That's about 63% said that they had qualified support for catch shares. And then with regard to, yes, those who supported catch shares, the percent of people who mentioned ecological advantages is greater than the percent who said didn't say anything about ecological advantages. And that's the way we'll interpret, you know, those lines that are statistically significant, that it's a difference between the people who said that advantage or disadvantage and those who didn't say that advantage or disadvantage. Now, About one quarter of the people said that catch shares had no advantage whatsoever. And if we look at percent of support for catch shares by perception of some advantage, of course we're going to see a big difference there. Those who didn't support catch shares saw no advantage. You know, a very large percentage of them saw no advantage in comparison to others. And when asked to list five disadvantages of catch shares, most fishermen replied that they said some disadvantages, but the most prevalent disadvantages mentioned by respondents were inequity of effects, design flaws, and negative social and community impacts. And about one-third of the respondents also identified disadvantages in allocation, NOAA fisherman gap, that refers to the communication between NOAA fisheries and the fishermen, and economic and profitability issues. And now what we're looking at are stated disadvantages of the catch share system. And when we look at it across states, and we look at the ones that are statistically significant, and one that we found was inequity of effects. And in terms of the inequity disadvantage, it includes options, opinions that catch shares will unequally affect profitability across gear type, size, location, and position. Remember, this is what the fishermen had to say. The other category that was statistically significant across the states with regard to responses to this category were economic and profitability. And the economic disadvantage included concerns about economic impacts of catch shares and the belief that they'll hurt profitability of fishermen and buyers. And many of these concerns resolved around fees, fines, and regulatory constraints. And the group also contains responses from fishermen who were worried that more rigorous domestic regulations will simply lead to more imported fish driving the local fishermen out of business. Design was also something that varied between the states a great deal. And in terms of design disadvantages, it included opinions associated with the current structure of catch share management, most of which concerned the incompatibility of species-specific quotas with New England multi-species fishing. And then the other one was the NOAA fisherman gap. And this grouping referred to the disparity in beliefs and practices that exist between NOAA and active fishermen. And the category also covered the general aversion to being regulated by NOAA and other government agencies, identifying reasons such as lack of accountability, excessive inefficiencies, and perverse incentives. And all the comments that reflected the adversarial relationship of fishermen and NOAA and Environmental Defense Fund are grouped into this category. Turning to the next table, disadvantages of catch shares by position. We're looking at differences between crew and others. Those that were statistically significant were allocation. The others, that is the captains and owners, had mentioned this more than crew members did. With regard to inequity of effects, it's once again the captains and owners mentioned inequity effects as being a disadvantage more than crew, but the percentages were relatively high for both of them. And then, once again, it was the others, not the crew members, who mentioned economic issues as being most important in terms of a disadvantage in comparison to the crew. Turning to the next table, these are disadvantages or bad things about catch shares mentioned by stated support for catch shares. And of course, if somebody has a disadvantage, you would expect that the ones who would not support catch shares would have the highest percentage. So inequity effects, those who mentioned inequity effects were more likely to say that they didn't support catch shares. And those who supported catch shares were less likely to mention that, although some did. And that's the same with social and community impacts, negative impacts. Those who didn't support catch shares were more likely to mention social and community negative impacts than those who had either qualified support or who did support catch shares. And then finally, the Noah Fisherman gap comes up as statistically significant again. And those who perceived a gap between Noah and the fishermen in terms of both communication and beliefs and so on, they were less likely to support catch shares than those who supported catch shares. And there we see a very small percentage. Suggested changes. Well, 27% of the responses suggested changing allocations. 19% suggested keeping the current days at sea system. 18% said there's a need to share more information. And a common sentiment among respondents was the inability to rationally make business choices due to a lack of clear regulatory information. Many respondents expressed the belief that surveys of fish populations were highly inaccurate, and accordingly, 15% suggested obtaining new, more accurate information when making regulatory decisions. Finally, 17% responded that the management system should be replaced. And this is the distribution of these concerns. That's hard to read. And you have it in front of you, so you can look at it in front of you. What I did on the slide is, what we did on the slide was that we made the light color, the white, or those that are over 10%, those under 10% in terms of the number of people mentioning them are in the gold color. And what I'm going to do now is look at these across the various categories across the states first, and here I'm only looking at those differences that are statistically significant, because for those of you who don't have a copy of these tables in front of you, you wouldn't be able to see it if I had the entire list. So only the statistically significant differences are presented here, and one that was statistically significantly different across the states was a statement that what we can do about it is to replace the management system. Another one that was statistically significant was to share information. And then, because some of the fishermen feel that they aren't informed, that they aren't getting information. Another one was to change allocations. That differed statistically significantly across the states. And then finally, some of them said just keep the days at sea system. And that differed quite statistically significantly different across the states. Suggested ways to address these concerns by position, looking at differences between what the crew and others said. And what we're looking at here are those, I put all of them here that ended up being tested. And one was the ones that were statistically significant were replace the management system and crews versus others. I only used the ones that were greater than 10% in this analysis, because if the responses were any less than 10%, then I couldn't run a statistical test across the groups. It would be an invalid statistical test. So the ones that were statistically significant amongst those options that were mentioned by more than 10% of the fishermen were replace the management system. And the crew is more likely to say that than others. And the other one was obtain new information. And here the others were more likely to mention the lack of information than crew members. And then finally, those who stated changing allocations, the others were more likely to say that than crew members. Now, here I'm only presenting the statistically significant differences rather than all of them, because you wouldn't be able to see the table on a projected table. But suggested ways to address the concerns across support for cat shares. One of the things that we find that those who say share more, share the information better, it's the people who have qualified support who mention that more frequently. Those who don't support the cat share system, it's also a relatively high percentage of them who say that. In terms of suggesting that we change the allocation system, those who don't support cat shares are more likely to mention changing the allocations than those who either have qualified support or who support the cat share system. Those who said regulate the markets, once again, was those who have no support for the cat share system who are more likely to say that. Those who support the cat share system didn't even mention anything about regulating the markets. And then those who don't support the cat share system are also more likely to say keep days at sea than those who support the cat share system or only have qualified support for the cat share system. The conclusions based on what the fishermen had to say. Now, this is all based on what the fishermen had to say. We're not putting any of our interpretations into this. And that appears to be that there's confusion among the fishermen due to inadequate communication with them. You know, we hold meetings, hold focus groups, hold all sorts of gatherings to try to inform fishermen. We bring fishermen's representatives to meetings. But the greater mass, and all of you know this, the greater mass of fishermen don't attend these meetings. And so, you know, we need a better way to communicate with them. And it's a real struggle to do something like that, to get this information to them. And it appears that, you know, they feel that this moved too rapidly. And that's part of the reasons why that, you know, things are happening that they feel that they're not fully informed about and haven't been adequately informed about. And the recommendations here are in part based on what the fishermen said and in part based on our interactions with other people interested in trying to improve the implementation of the cat share system. And I'm sure that this has been said many times by all of you. And the first thing that we're looking at with regard to recommendations involved the information and education aspect. And we have to increase the overall information available to fishermen. We have to more clearly explain research. And this has been from the beginning, hasn't it? We've had this problem, clearly explaining the research and stock survey methods and allow for adaptation of these methods. We need to establish a new and efficient way to elicit input from fishermen. You know, having fishermen's representatives don't always work. Do the head of these fishermen's groups always really represent the views of the fishermen? And a colleague of mine and I looked at the implementation of the fishery licensing system in Rhode Island, and they felt that they had good communication with the fishermen. When we went out and did an interview of the fishermen, many of them said that they didn't even know what was going on, although there were public meetings. So we wonder about this, the methods that are being used to elicit input from the fishermen. Do we have to do something like we did, go out and try to get a large talk to them face-to-face, a large representative sample of fishermen? Maybe that's what's necessary. It's a little bit more expensive, but maybe then you would be getting more reliable input from the fishermen, directly from them rather than indirectly. Improve the communication flow between the regulators and the fishermen. This is all related. And create an industry catch share working group. Further recommendations with regard to design, and this is what we are talking about today, incorporate mechanisms to limit fleet consolidation, consider allocation changes and bycatch flexibility, keep the costs low, consider environmental incentives. This is nothing new. Explore the potential of creating regional permit banks and have council-supported design workshops for the industry. Involve the industry more in it. Don't just, you know, try to get more people involved somehow. Okay, that's it. If you have any questions, the group here is prepared to answer. The people who went out and collected the data, who grouped the data and so on. Yes.
Yes, thank you for your presentation. Appreciate that. Clearly, the fishermen and the crew expressed many opinions, and you've broken them down into different categories, support, no support for catch shares. But they did express their opinions, so it seems to me, therefore, they had enough information to provide an opinion. I suspect strong opinions. So with that said, I go to your last slide in the handout that shows conclusions, and it indicates that there's confusion. I guess it's unclear to me what they're confused about, since they were able to express points of view that led you to all of these tables. So if you would help me out, what tables and what analyses actually led you to conclude that the crew and or the vessel owners were confused? And about what?
The wide range of opinions that were expressed. In other words, if there was proper communication and if there was better information provided to the fishermen, some of the ideas that fishermen presented here that you may disagree with wouldn't exist. So this very wide range in terms of interpretation of what catch shares are all about and what they're going to result in is a result of people having different levels of information, different types of understandings about catch shares. It's confusion in terms of the whole group, that there's differences of opinion. Some people have certain, you know, bits of knowledge about catch shares and beliefs about what kind of an impact they're going to have, and others have other opinions toward catch shares and what impacts they'd have. And I'd also like to let some of my colleagues here answer that question.
Before they do that, I just your assessment of the situation doesn't appear to be reflected in all these analyses. These analyses don't lead me to come to the same conclusion that you came to. You've come to that conclusion through all the hard work you did interviewing the fishermen. That's the way it comes across to me. I mean, all of these fishermen and crew members as well as captains, they've got their own perspectives, their own opinions that are valid. It's their own personal perspective. So whether those perspectives are right or wrong, or whether they're the result of confusion, again, these analyses don't help me arrive at the same conclusions you drew regarding their sentiments.
The way I think of explaining it is, what we've tried to do in here is the level of responses that we got ranged up to 140 different responses. And as Richard said, you know, part of the confusion I think was just seeing, you know, the raw data that came in and the range of different responses that we were getting from the respondents. And I think, you know, to try to deal with that, we've tried to consolidate into a number of groupings to help us better understand it. And I think David, maybe just seeing that the broader range of responses may help you understand how we came to the conclusion that, you know, confusion existed.
Yeah, that would. I'm sure there are many fishermen out there, crew members as well as captains, vessel owners that are confused about the regulations, confused about where we're going with fisheries management, catch share management specifically, whether they have enough information, whether. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, and those opinions are quite valid. So, anyway, so this information is very useful. Don't get me wrong. I find the tabular information to be quite useful. It's just your overall conclusion that I didn't quite understand.
The fishermen themselves said that they needed more information and that they felt, this is in terms of their recommendations as to what to do, they felt that they didn't have the full information. They felt that, you know, that there were mistakes being made. They felt that there should be a better communication established between Noah and the fishermen. So they said it themselves. In other words, we're making that conclusion was right in what they said. If you look at the ways of addressing the concerns and disadvantages, they talk about lack of information and not sharing information. So that is where that came from. They said it themselves. It wasn't an interpretation that we made. If you just look at it, it's out there.
Okay, Dr.
And people should talk to the fishermen more, not just a few fishermen, not just the ones that everybody talks to, but those that don't jump up and express their opinion unless you corner them.
We have a question here from Rip Cunningham.
Thank you for that presentation. Was the original intent of this study to look at catch shares as a whole, or was it catch shares focused on our Amendment 16? I have a couple of follow-ups to that, too, if I could.
I mean, it was catch shares as a whole is what we were trying to look at, you know, just trying to understand it in its broadest sense.
Was there a conscious decision to focus on the commercial users versus any of the recreational party and charter boat people?
We didn't consider recreational fishermen, charter boat fishermen in doing this. It was more toward the commercial sector. Yep.
In Rhode Island, I've got some data on, you know, the recreational as well, because we identified that as a potential issue there.
On one of the early questions you asked some of the interviewees, do you know what catch shares are? If their answer was no, what happened after that?
We gave a brief description of what a catch share was, and usually upon that description, the response was, "Oh, you mean like an ITQ, or oh, you mean like sectors." But we were looking at catch shares as a whole, not limiting to the sectors under Amendment 16.
And one last one under the area of disadvantages, there were sort of three categories: inequity of effects, design flaws, negative social and community impacts. There had to be some interpretation, I think, on the interviewer's part to take the information and categorize those, because I don't see that, you know, inequity of effects is something that, you know, somebody would be saying to you. So I was just curious how that worked.
They were put into categories, of course, based on, you know, how we perceive the responses, and they were with regard to, you know, the various questions. Like Bob said, for some questions there are 140 distinct responses, but those that were categorized into inequity of effects, it included opinions that catch shares will unequally affect profitability across gear type, size, location, and position. And by position, that's the position of the person in the vessel.
And I mean, just as a follow-up for that, in the final report, actually, what we're going to do is include in an annex all the raw responses and, you know, show how we actually put them into these categories. So, I mean, people may interpret them differently than we have, but, you know, the group itself, this is how we interpret it and put these categories together.
Dave Gaethel.
Thank you for this report. I think it's very useful. It's stunning, but it's not unsurprising, quite frankly, as a fisherman. I call your attention to the slide at the top of page 4, and specifically to New Hampshire, which is my state. And it seems, again, it's not surprising to me, but it's still stunning that you have 0% support for catch shares. In any kind of a survey, there's always somebody somewhere that supports something. I mean, this is a pretty stunning number to me. And I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit. I mean, what does that tell us when an entire state doesn't support something?
And there were the end, the sample size, that's the sample size in New Hampshire. There were only 13 interviewed in New Hampshire. And it's possible that somebody who would have supported could have been missed. There's always the chance for error like that.
Right, but I mean that's about a third of the votes we got left. Actually, it's more than a third. That's a pretty good sample size. I mean, this is telling you quite clearly, folks, that you got a big problem here. You know, when New Hampshire puts down a zero for support, it's telling you that something has been done terribly wrong here. I mean, I've been trying to say it for 6 months. I feel like a voice in the wilderness, but you take this survey to heart. We have to take action here. I mean, this is, we have a big, big problem. And look at the reasons that people have identified as the reasons that there's so little support. And the biggest one is the allocation issue. You know, I mean, I am grateful for this report. I hope this council does something with it other than just sit there. Thank you.
Mike Leary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm actually from New Hampshire. I was wondering, how did you conduct these surveys? Are these walking around surveys, or are they on the telephone? And if you did walk around and talk to fishermen, what time of the day were you there? And
well, in regards to New Hampshire and everywhere, we just pounded docks, basically. Walked up and down docks. In New Hampshire, it was actually difficult to find people to talk to. And we would spread it out throughout all hours of the day, early in the morning, late in the afternoon when guys are trying to come in and offload. Kind of tried to look at, like, weather windows when guys might be in. But New Hampshire in particular, it was hard to catch up with guys at the docks and I think it pertains to the small amount of people who are actually fishing out of New Hampshire now. So,
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Along the thread of questions, what is the difference between qualified support and support?
I think it'll be informative for the council if I can actually read you the question that we derived this from. It was a combination of questions 9 and 10 from the survey. We asked, would you be willing to support a catch share system in fisheries management, and why or why not, and under what circumstances? I have the responses that we coded as qualified support, and most of them were well, if this, then sort of support. If the allocation is fair, if fishermen can get a fixed price for their fish, if rules are not changed at the end of the process, I would support a catch share system, but not sectors. I would support an ITQ system, but not sectors. If NIMS manages the multi-species complex in a responsible way, does not set allocations for some species at levels too low, which will shut down the fishery when that allocation is caught. And, I mean, we have a total of 34 responses. As Bob mentioned, we'll have an annex, but you'll be able to go through it and sort of see if there's that if or would support. I think you'll be able to derive that qualified for yourself.
Dr. Jim?
Thanks. I had a question. I'm not clear on how to interpret some of your tables. And, for instance, the one on page 4 of your handout at the bottom, when you flag something, these are like analysis of frequencies, and when you flag something in green here saying that it's statistically significant, I'm not quite sure what hypothesis you're testing. In what sense is it statistically significant? Are you saying the states differ, or is it that it's significant in some other sense? Well, it's the first table that says advantages or good things about catch shares by state.
Later on, I have a graph that, you know, two graphs that show the difference between a distribution that's statistically significant and one that isn't statistically significant. What this tells you is that with regard, we'll just look at allocation, with regard to allocation, with regard to those who say allocation, there's a difference in terms of percentages across the state, in contrast to those who don't state allocation. What it is it would be a two by five table that would have distributions, and I've converted the distributions here in terms of percent because it's easier to read than just frequencies of distributions. This is percent distributions. And what the table would look like is there would be a row for those who said that allocation was an issue, and another row which would include the individual respondents who didn't say allocation was an issue. And that's what the statistical test was run on. So it's actually telling you that there are differences between the states with regard to the allocation issue. And the statistic that was used, the only statistic you can use for nominal data like this across these categories, was a chi-square.
Frank.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
I really...
Over him.
Yeah.
Yes, he said.
Yes, that was a clear answer. Thank you.
I really wanted to have, you know, a graph for each and every one of the statistically significant differences, but I could have never had the time to present it. In the final report, you know, this will be more apparent.
Frank Blount.
Yeah, thank you. I might have a couple questions here, depending on the answer. I'm a little surprised on the slide on page 10, where it says change in allocation. And I'm going to look at New Hampshire, thinking that, you know, 14% is a very low percentage. I think one of the big problems we're hearing from New Hampshire is the low allocation. So I would have thought that would have been a much higher number, especially for New Hampshire, because if you have very few number of people. It says suggested ways to address concerns and disadvantage of each catch share by state. And then, okay, that's fine. But, you know, then it says New Hampshire has the lowest for change in allocation. And from what we feared all along, New Hampshire is the state that seems to be the concern the most about allocation. It's just, it's very strange that came out. So I'm just wondering. And, you know, when you go through your sampling, you look at Maine, you did a lot of ports in Maine. If you were there, so do we oversample in some places and not as much in others? Is there a bias here? Because it seems to be a bias against New Hampshire for some reason. If I'm reading it correctly.
Actually, Maine had the lowest percentage, and New Hampshire was next lowest, and then there's very little difference between Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut.
So does that mean 86% of the people in New Hampshire are happy with the allocation?
No.
No, I think based on most of the respondents in New Hampshire might have said keep days at sea. So the questions were open-ended, so what was ever, I guess, salient in the fishermen's mind, if they said keep days at sea, then they weren't really thinking about the allocation, so that didn't really come across in the conversation. We weren't asking questions sort of lead them to that. It was just what...
If you asked them if they were, if they could have a change in allocation or keep days at sea, is that how the question was asked?
Not at all.
No.
It's open-ended. What are ways, what would you suggest?
See, the point is, when I mentioned how we ask the questions in the beginning, the point of asking open-ended questions is to get out of the individual what's salient to them. And whenever they provide a response, that's the issue that's most salient to them. We didn't want to have a series of closed-ended questions which would put ideas into their mind that they could respond yes or no to. And also, whenever you have a series of questions that people can respond yes or no to, and if they get tired of answering, they'll just say yes or no. They won't pay much attention to the question. But with an open-ended question where they're required to say something, you know, they got to have something to say. What they do say is what they feel is most important to them first. And then, you know, they added more, and so maybe we'd get three things, and they didn't mention allocation.
Vince?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand the point of the information you've given us today here is how the people that you interviewed answered the questions. So the implication here is the next step is how representative this is of the entire population. And it seems to me that that's a function of how you selected the samples. And I'm wondering, in your final report, is that going to be addressed? And then I have a second question.
Report the methodology that we use for selecting respondents. And, you know, these two guys are the ones who are on the docks, you know, interviewing these guys. And, you know, it was meant to be random and trying to get a range of, as I said, as we said, captains, crews, owners. You know, we really wanted to get a broad range of people as we did this.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is, in some of the previous catch share workshops that I've attended, analysis is often presented that the catch history is 20% of the vessels or participants or hold 80% of the catch history or 30%, 70%. But the point being, a relatively small number of participants have the larger share of catch. I'm wondering if, you know, if the next step here is, if you've given any thought to the next step here of trying to take that into account to try to tease out a bit more of where people's perception is on this. So, you know, the people that are currently responsible for the landings, how does that track with the overall population, and might it be different?
There probably would be a difference, but anybody who's tried to get lists of fishermen, lists of the universe, so that you could draw a truly random sample, knows that they don't exist. I have another larger survey going on here in New England that's supported by NOAA Fisheries from Rhode Island up to the Canadian border. And believe me, even in a state as small as Rhode Island, when we tried to get, and this is on a study that we had done earlier, the universe of fishermen in that state, that's everybody in that state, so you can draw a truly random sample. You cannot get that universe. People will sit there and tell me it exists. And then when I go to them and say, well, let me see it, they don't have it. You may have a list of license holders. We worked on the basis of a list of license holders, and your very statement indicates what that list means. You got people in there who are not fishing. You've got people in there, you know, who are. So I think that given, you know, a methodology where you combine an attempt to do random sampling along with going down to the dock and doing your damnedest to get a representative sample that isn't biased by time of day or just hanging out in one corner of the dock, I think that you get a pretty close to random sample that would be representative of the entire fleet. We tested this in some work that we did in Southeast Alaska, where we took a suggested list of people that we should interview from the harbor master. And then what we did is we had all of the boats and we drew a real random sample. And this was in Petersburg, Alaska, and in Craig, Alaska. And when I tested the differences, I looked at the, you know, to see if there were any statistically significant differences between the truly random sample, which overlapped with the other sample, of course, because some of those people were in the non-random sample. There was only, it was two out of, one or two or three out of 37 variables that were statistically significantly different. And that could have, we could have gotten that on the basis of chance alone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mike Leary? Pass?
Yeah, I was just, if there's 1,300 and something groundfish permits around and you interviewed 172 people, is that sample enough to draw conclusions? It seems awful small. No, I'm just saying if there's 1,300 permits, 1,300, one person per permit, yeah, it's very, very small.
Well, you know, there's a, if you want to talk statistics, there's a big issue concerning statistical significance and sample size. If I had a sample of 1,000 fishermen, almost anything would be statistically significant. You do the statistic so that you can determine the representativeness and you can put error bars on it. And, you know, the smaller your sample is, the larger your error bars will be. But if there's a statistically significant difference with a smaller sample, and that 170 is a 10% sample, but if it's statistically significant there with a smaller sample like that, then there is a real difference. Little tiny differences with a large sample can be statistically significant.
Dr. Kirkle?
Just to be clear, though, this wasn't just groundfish vessels, so there's actually a much larger number of vessels than that and also included crew, so the universe is, it's not 10%.
That's okay. I'd still stand behind this as being representative.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay.
Can I just ask you a quick question? What we did is we did our analysis based on state and position. Now we can do more with the analysis based on gear, based on, you know, other types of variables. So if you have any, you know, for your own needs, if you're interested in us doing more with the analysis, please let us know, because we basically looked at two variables, as I said, position and state. But we can do the statistical analysis with a bunch of other variables too, if it will be of use to you. So please let us know as we finish this up.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you for taking your time out. Apologize for the delay. We're 12:30 now. Why don't we come back at 1:30 for lunch? If everybody take their seats, we'll get back on agenda. Take your seats, please. Okay, we're going to get back on agenda. On the 1 o'clock agenda item. Quiet in the room, please.